Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile.
We need to do HX from last time.
And I think that that's just going to be the, if everyone isn't there at the end of the session, I'll just hold it off till the next time. So, eeny, meeny, miny, big fucker. No, Caitlin. Who does your character, who does big fucker have the highest HX with?
Found.
Wait, are we doing...
I'm backwards. Sorry, big fucker. Pardon me. Who knows you better? Yes, good, there we go. Who do you think knows you better?
It's probably Eliza after that session.
That sounds right.
Of any of the player characters.
Okay. Then Eliza, mark HX with Big Fucker. Do you flip?
Yep.
What are you at?
3.
Excellent. Alright, Absinthe.
I think Van knows you better.
That is entirely possible.
The guy I interacted with.
You're right, you did a lot of NPC interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
It was good.
It was awesome. And I flip.
Yay. Oh.
So that means I have to tell you a secret, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anything about Kryn you want to tell me?
No.
He's still alive.
I hope not.
And totally fine.
Let me think about it for a moment, if that's okay.
Yeah, we can go through the rest of the things, so then you can do that. All right,
it's gonna be like a doctor crocodile who's gonna pop out. Why, hello, guys. Or feel like trying.
Absinthe, who knows you better?
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, sorry, Eliza. Who knows you better?
Oh, okay. I think probably Big Fucker.
I think you're right.
It is.
Probably.
Unfortunately, for Big Fucker.
My heart, it's breaking.
And what do you ask with Eliza right now?
2.
2, okay. And found your last.
Mm-hmm. And I think Absinthe is gonna know me better.
Okay. Mark, and you go up. What do you add?
Do you get experience points for going over?
Yeah, when you flip, you get XP.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
One huge XP.
Hey, man, take it anywhere you can get it.
Is that coffee? Is there more coffee? I need coffee before we do this. I'm sick of being tired for these sessions and not, like, be able to get in character.
No, it's fine. I'm mainlining caffeine here myself.
Gonna go mainframe submerge wing it.
I don't even understand.
Boop. My nose is being booped.
Yeah.
I did notice that.
Well, that was for people who can't see.
Yeah, it was for the audience. Jeez, Dave.
Sorry. Sometimes I forget we're on TV. We're not on TV.
We're on the phonograph TV.
Imagine we had like a machine with a wax drum just going around. And
then for all they know, we do. Amazing sound quality for it, in fact.
Well, the high fidelity view, but audio files all swear by analog. That's about as analog as you can get.
It's fairly
analog.
You've
got to listen to music alligator clipped across a coat hanger. That's the way the real people.
Well, what is it? Can you actually produce? Does it vibrate? How does that work?
I was thinking audio files. It was the monster cables thing.
Oh.
There was an XKCD about. There was a study done where they, like, ran music across monster cables, like gold plated, expensive cables to speakers, and ran it across, like, alligator
clip to coat hangers.
And the audiophiles were unable to discern the difference.
Well, of course.
And so, but anyways, the joke in the XKCD was that he took away totally the wrong message and now refused to listen to music except using alligator clips and coat hangers.
I like it.
Where did you get your guns?
Actually, I came up with a secret to tell you. The reason that I don't like to go and open my brain to the maelstrom is because when I was younger, an older person who was religious had me pray with them, And I did open my brain to the maelstrom, and like I had a really, really bad trip, as it were. And so I...
Interesting.
I'm afraid that that's going to happen again.
Well, I like it. By the way, what does the maelstrom look like to you? I forget.
It's the Elysian Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the most pleasant of any of our views of it.
It's another reason I don't like it.
But. It's interesting because we see yours the most, obviously. We haven't seen really anyone else's in a while.
Yeah. Dude, let's get into that.
Let's do it.
Alright, let's talk about crazy.
Alright, so now beginning of the session, HX moves. So we'll go back to Caitlin.
Found has highest for me.
Alright. I want to see you sharp.
Alright.
Can you... let's see, big fucker. We have sharp, and what do you want? Do you have a preference? Again, last session of the season. Just
I think I
want
to be hard again. Just
all right. Same
start
as
of
last
season
week.
Two. I'll refresh. But
and actually, you know, one of the things that one of the things that the doing at the beginning of every session is actually not mandatory. We could just roll with what we had last time, which was pretty much everybody's main stats. But it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. Does anyone have a preference?
I like changing it up.
Okay.
It's not like it takes a whole lot of time to figure it out. And it also helps remind us to mark HX from the last time if we forget.
Yes. So, Duncan.
I will have Eliza tell me what to do. Yanni, rather.
What were you last week?
I was hot and cool last week. I've been hot and cool for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, two sessions of hot and cool.
Whatever you like. I can certainly continue being hot and cool, but...
How do you feel about being sharp for a change?
Works for me.
All right.
Do you have a preference?
I don't know. I feel like, based on recent information, it might be a decent session for me to be weird, but at the same time, hot and cool are always pretty good.
Well, you've already got one.
You can always do weird. Like, you know, you should always just go into the maelstrom. There's no harm in it. Well, there's harm in anything you roll. But I think you probably... I think you're going to need to be cool today. I think it's just going to have to happen, so...
It's fine.
Might as well do that.
That would probably be useful.
Yeah. Yanni, tell me a story about Eliza.
Big Fucker? Or, I'm sorry, Caitlin? What do you think?
Weird is always good for you.
It's true.
Let's see.
Not cool. I was sharp and weird last time.
You were.
Let's.
Do I want to go back to hot?
I'd be okay with that.
Hard.
You're pretty hot.
It's true. I got more hot last time.
I don't think you need to be. Yeah. Let's let you use some of your new hotness.
Okay.
Shake them titties.
And then.
Thanks, big fucker.
And found. Will.
Duncan? I got these here stats.
What were you last time? Hard and weird?
That's true.
On account of our recent marriage, I think you should be cool.
Cool? Then it shall be.
Hard.
I'm not going to be weird on the turn. I need to be weird.
No, believe me. You'll have plenty of opportunity for... Do you want weird? I'll give you weird.
Weird would be very useful. I must admit.
Okay, we'll go with weird then. I won't take that from you.
Well, I mean, if you want me to be hard this session...
No. You know what? Weird is way more interesting given what I think you're going to do.
That's certainly
not. It's way more interesting. Alright, you had a sixth advance that you did or did not take.
I wanted to advance I wanted to choose three basic moves and advance them.
Can you tell me which moves you're advancing?
It was going to be read a person, go aggro, seize by force.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Two of those were pretty much gimmies.
Yeah.
And you're also super sharp, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pretty sharp.
Oh, I'm plus two, but I'm actually... My next post six is going to be adding to sharp, so...
Okay.
She's sharper than I am.
I'm pretty sharp, but I'm stupid sharp, so... That's the best thing about being a faceless.
You're just cool and calculating behind that mask.
Mm-hmm.
And did anyone else have a pending advance?
Nope.
But you two are one away from six, one XP away from six.
Three.
Apiece. You're three away. You're one away.
Yeah, I'm one away.
Okay.
And I hit six, but I took hot.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be weird, so I could
so you could catch up. That's actually a really good reason. Okay. So, beginning of the session moves.
Some kind of fortune.
Ah, some kind of fortunes.
Quick, that thing I do.
Yeah!
Alright, I got a 10.
What 10?
10. So, I think that's everything I ever wanted.
Growth and cash.
Yeah. Alright.
Seems appropriate.
Seems right.
You create a second character. Are you playing two characters simultaneously? Or
yes. If you retire a character, you'll pick up a new character and not play the first character. But, yeah. Which is typically why when you pick up a second character, you try to either create or pick somebody from the fiction who isn't closely related or likely to come into contact.
Right.
Because your two characters don't have HX with each other. That's actually a rule.
Oh.
So, you know, I think there's plenty of opportunities.
HX grind.
What?
I said you can't just HX grind.
You can't do that. No, they can't just shoot each other.
My characters know each other better. I guess they'll each get an experience.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It's that you can't... You rarely want to roleplay both of them in a scene together. So
yeah.
It's best to pick two people who don't come into contact a lot. But anyways. Alright. So, a scene that I've been saying that I want to have for a long time... is going to be you leading your service.
All right.
And I assume, are you going to be there?
Oh, of course.
Are you going to be there?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to be there?
Probably.
Goody, everyone is there.
You better be there.
So, tell me about... Describe what a religious service is normally like for you.
Well, we don't really have enough space to have a dedicated service area. So what we usually do is convert the dining area into a service area. We take these circular tables and people just sit on one side of them. And there tends to be a lot of seating in the, you know, standing up in the back because we just don't have enough chairs to go around. And I usually have a table to myself that I stand on, so I can just be a little bit higher up. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of stuff, and I had to sell some of my things lately to, you know, make back a little bit of money. So, I mean, times are tough all around. I used to have a podium, but, you know, it was pretty nice. It was made of oak, so it sort of had to go.
But things are turning around a bit.
Yes, they are.
Can you tell me about how you just came into a couple of barter? How did that happen?
Well, what happens normally is I send out a group of people from my family, and we go around and we do a combination of asking for donations and coming into the possession of valuable objects. I don't know about this particular aspect of it, but it happens. It is an unfortunate side effect.
You've also had some growth lately. Did some people come in and bring...
With the new faces, we generally ask to give whatever they can. In the case of the previous large family that we had with three... they brought that all that machinery for food.
Gotcha.
And people give what they can, and we make do, and
okay.
We do okay.
So would you say that the two barter that you just got both came from sort of donations and scavenging? Or
I should think so.
Okay.
The newest people we've been getting, they just don't have a whole lot of money on them. I mean, we've got food and fuel, but that doesn't mean that there's more money to go around. That just means there's more goods to be bought.
Gotcha. Okay, so can you describe what a normal service is like in terms of, you know, because religious services usually have an order of some kind to them. And you're a man of tradition.
I am. The first thing we do is everyone gathers up as much as they can, you know, as close to the podium or what used to be the podium as possible.
The table.
And
the sturdiest
table. It is the sturdiest table because I have to stand on it. And we all sing songs. Now, we don't have any Bibles on us. Most of the Bibles that exist have rotted because they're made of paper, mm-hmm. and it is just wet as hell here.
It is indeed humid and
I came here with a Bible. I will not leave with it. It super is dead. So, what we've been doing is I lead songs. Whatever songs that I can remember, and I can remember most of them, we do. And so, for the first 15 minutes or so, as people are, you know, entering, we sing songs to pass the time because not everyone is able to immediately drop what they're doing. We're a relatively practical church. We know what's going on. Times are tough. After that first bit, I give a short sermon about usually current events. So right now I'll be talking a lot.
I may have you give that sermon.
Okay.
But just give me a notion of the rest of the order of the service.
After that, we do another verse of songs, and then we do some form of communion. We don't really have enough bread to just give away like that. So what we do these days is we've got a glass, we've got some water, and people drink from that, and we say that this is the blood of Christ, and that sort of thing. And then we do another round of songs, and...
Can I move for a detail?
Mm-hmm.
Can that water be helping spread the worms?
Sure.
Just thinking.
I mean, I don't know.
That's interesting. Is there a reason you wouldn't use distilled water?
Not a terrible reason. I mean, times are tough, though.
Yeah.
We may ideally use distilled water.
Well, isn't it purified by the process of the service?
That's true.
Sort of like a snake handling thing is that you shouldn't yes. be afraid of the water because
it's purified. I like that. We'll do that.
God will protect you. Sure. Excellent.
This is a good plan. I like this.
and then you, I assume you have a recessional, which is also this is singing.
Yeah.
Okay. And
there's usually donuts afterwards, but we haven't had any donuts. They're very stale. We get like the iron donuts from the age before.
The Entenmann's, the stuff they'll keep forever.
I'm picturing dwarves making donuts.
Dwarf bread.
Iron.
That's great. Okay. So, so it starts out today. You sing, and when you sing the songs, do you make up your own words? Do you actually remember all the original words?
I'd like to think that I remember all the original words, but that's probably not what's happening. I haven't seen the original songs in maybe 3 years, so I've got a pretty good idea of what they are.
Okay, so you haven't.
I haven't
inserted any editorial. Into the music.
Not intentionally.
I haven't inserted anything in there into an already pre-existing song. I do have a couple of my own songs that my father wrote. And I have been taught that just goes along with the Bible, but it wasn't written in it.
Gotcha.
They're a little bit more Old Testament.
That's sort of what I was... Alright. You know, unfortunately, I really have to go to the bathroom again.
Which, you know, I think is a show I'd be much more likely to watch than the one that actually exists, sadly. Actually, sadly exists.
Reality TV.
I saw the thing with Garrick, where he was like, oh, we tried reality television as a form of torture. Of course, back then, we spelled Cardassian differently.
Alright.
Who's Garrick?
You haven't watched any Deep Space Nine, have you? He was the tailor.
Okay.
The Cardassian tailor who was really a spy, who was really a tailor, who was really not telling you the whole
Is Deep Space Nine the one we have at the library?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the one that's simultaneous with the last part of
I watched like
TNG.
Five or six seasons of it.
Oh. Garrick's been there since the beginning.
Okay.
He was like the best character, which is the only reason I expected. You would probably remember him.
I probably would remember him if I saw like just even a picture of him. I'm just not very good with names.
So, getting back to the topic at hand.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. About halfway through the singing before the sermon, Jeanette and Fuse walk in to the back of the room. They stand at the back of the crowd, slightly set apart, holding hands. They're just standing there. And then it's time for you to do your sermon. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
All right. Before I begin my sermon, we have some new guests who are old friends. My sister Jeanette, who we all remember, and Fuse, her husband-to-be.
You see, they both smile at you.
Come on down. Come up here.
They walk up to the front. The people sort of part and form an aisle. Fuse is looking at you. He's got a look of resolve in his eyes. It's not hostile, but it's not warm. Does that make sense? Jeanette is looking at you warmly. There's actually a look of expectation on her face. Before they get to you, Fuse announces, "I'm glad you brought that up. We've come here to be married."
Well, that's wonderful. Well, do you have the rings I gave you? I carry marriage rings when I try to go see my sister who's with a guy. Got a whole box full of them, apparently.
Yeah, he actually pulls out a little box, opens it up, and shows you the two rings sort of nested side by side in the box.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He says, as you reach out to get it, Jeanette sees the ring on your finger. Brother, you're married?
Oh, yes. I recently got married. Have you met my wife?
She looks at you, looks tremendously confused. I was not invited?
Well, you were so far away. I couldn't even contact you.
She looks genuinely crestfallen.
I'm sorry.
Why didn't you tell me? This is all so quick, I mean.
Well, it was very quick. It came as somewhat of a surprise to me, actually.
For the record, I'm, like, probably jaw on the floor.
I'm just eating.
She's just sort of... Fuse is like, no, honey. It's we're here to do this. You know, we'll talk with Found afterwards. I'm sure he'll clarify everything.
I can, of course.
Well, we're ready. He hands you the rings.
All right.
Jeanette's look goes back to sort of a mixed sort of
Fuse and Jeanette. You have come here today to become married and be one with each other until death. Jeanette, do you take Fuse to be with you until death?
Yes, I do. And she looks, you know, she looks into his eyes and she smiles.
Fuse, do you promise to take good care of my sister?
I do.
Good boy. Now I now pronounce you man and wife. Get the chairs. We're doing a dance.
They slip the rings on each other's fingers, and there's a whole lot of singing and chair dancing and raising and every once in a while you sort of catch Jeanette looking at you with a sort of a troubled look, but she mostly smiling and having a good time. She, you know, she's also sort of waving to people she hasn't seen in a while. She's happy to be home. Few seems to be taking it all with her. Reasonably good spirits too, so that's good. And when that's finished, you know, the revelry sort of dies down a little bit, and
well, that was wonderful, and I'm so happy that I could marry these two fine young people. But I think that we need to continue with our sermon for the day. As you know, times are wonderful. We have so much to be thankful for. Eliza and Absinthe, you've brought food to Sunktown, something that we have been without for too long. You have brought fuel to fuel our engines so that we can have power and boats. And this is a great time to be a member of the family. But remember, there can never be enough. As long as there are souls who are outside of us, they will be damned for all eternity. We need to bring more into the fold. You have done good works, but it is not enough. It will never be enough. I think on that note, I'd like to conclude for the day, and because of our wonderful surprise, but I hope that you will spend the rest of this day trying to bring at least one new person into our fold.
Fuse looks at you sort of steely-eyed throughout the entire sermon. Jeanette is her usual, sort of has melted into her usual adoring self. You also see Three, who looks absolutely enraptured to be listening to your sermon. She always really enjoys the religious services. You start the song between the sermon and the
communion thing,
and you all start to sing, and it's weird because it's as if, and you all hear this, it's as if at first you hardly notice it, but then you feel, you start to hear as if there's an organ playing along with you. And the music swells, and it, at first, like, you think maybe it's just your imagination, but then after a while, it's clearly not. It becomes louder and louder and louder until it's almost deafening.
This seems like an appropriate time to open one's mind to Maelstrom.
Roll weird.
Actually, I roll hard.
Oh, yeah. Roll hard.
I was thinking of reading the situation, but that might be a better option.
11. Well, we can both do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you sort of spin outwards into the grinding spheres. The whole of when you just leave your body for the first time, it almost feels like the whole of creation is ringing. But as you get further and further away, you realize that it was a localized effect. It's small. I don't know how to really explain it. Like, you know, enough removed, and all you can hear is the grinding of the spheres, and floating there. Is there something in particular you want to look at?
You know what? I would. I'd like to get a better look at Found.
Okay, Found. Found is in some ways so Found does stand out in the Maelstrom. How do you normally see people in the Maelstrom? Like,
I do, but they're very removed, like insects.
Okay.
Are they really small? Is that it?
Yeah. just psychologically and also just physically, everything seems small because things are so pulled back.
Mm-hmm. There are two sort of things of note. Maybe three.
Okay.
So found is, he sort of looks like he's polished, made of glass or some sort of, you know, precious stone like diamond, polished bright. He shines. He looks hard.
That's interesting to a person whose universe is composed of grinding ether spheres.
Yeah. He looks like he could cut the spheres, etch them, not crack them or destroy them somehow. Not like that thing you saw on the machine.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked like
he could leave a mark.
He could leave a mark. And driven, there's a few other people that maybe stand out. But the other one that catches your eye is from in the crowd. Can you usually identify who's who? Do you have that kind of view?
Yeah, I could.
Okay, it's three. Three looks like a tuning fork driven into the ground, made of steel and vibrating. She is resonating with the energy of the spheres.
Okay.
And you realize that's probably what you're hearing. Right? Big fucker. She's looking up at you. She's looking up at your disembodied floating body above, floating above, observing. She's up into the sky. Big fucker. What are you doing up there?
I don't know. Why are...
The sound of her voice is almost like she's like shouting through a bullhorn, but it's got this sort of resonant sort of like a ringing quality to it, as if she's somehow managing to sort of focus it and project it at you.
Three, what are you doing?
Sinking. This
okay.
It's the music the angels sing in my head. I'm just singing along.
That's something, Three. I might have to pull out.
I get to ask you some questions first.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's one other person you're interested in?
Probably Eliza.
Okay. I'll give you a little bit of that, but tell me, how did it feel to get shot down?
By Eliza?
Mm-hmm.
Like the world was being, you know, like the world was a rug being pulled out from under my feet.
Tell me why you thought that she'd be more receptive to that.
Because Eliza is the only person I've ever connected to in years.
Okay.
Eliza is the only person I count as a real friend who isn't a mask.
Okay. Eliza, Eliza's interesting. Eliza's ethereal. She almost looks like you're seeing double when you look at her. Like she's there, but she's also in the space around her, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. It's like a lack of boundaries.
Yeah, a little bit. Like she's bleeding off into the, you know, into the maelstrom a bit. But, you know, you've certainly seen stranger. And would you say that Big Fucker is in a place of vulnerability right now? Emotionally?
Yeah.
Or has he sort of hardened himself?
Well, for the moment that he's in the maelstrom, he's in a vulnerable place.
Oh no, I'm talking about in general, like back in the real world.
He's hardened himself. After
he's hardened
that.
Himself. Okay. Okay. You snap back in.
So would reading this situation be possible, or?
I think you could. No, you know what? I don't see that there being any real enemy here.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's you could read the, because you don't yet know that it's three. You
right.
could either go into the maelstrom or read the switch to find that out.
Right.
Otherwise, you won't know. But you can do either of those things. You want to read a sitch?
Yeah.
Read a sitch.
I think I do that first, and then if I realized it was three, I might go into the maelstrom. But nine.
Nine. Okay. I think that's one question.
Yeah. What should I be on? Yeah. What should I be on the lookout for?
Somebody with a lot of power losing control of it. Or not knowing how to control it, I guess. Found. It's as if somebody. At first it was this incredible elation, and then now it feels like somebody's driving a hot poker right in the middle of your forehead. I think you're acting under fire, and the fire is, it overwhelms you, and you stop singing, and the experience ends.
All right. Six. It's too much. It felt wonderful. It was like nothing I'd experienced before. Maybe a little bit like my dad, but not quite. And I can't bear it anymore. And I stop singing, and I finally allow myself to put my hand on my head, and I scream.
Yeah, I figured you'd cry out in some way. And the singing abruptly stops, and the music is gone as if it wasn't there to begin with. In fact, in the moment after it stops, you wonder again whether or not it was just sort of some sort of weird hallucination. All of you sort of feel that way, as if that was did I even really experience that? It doesn't make any sense. Everyone is just sitting there staring at you.
I run up to him.
Okay.
And I want to say, it's all right. And then call over Jeanette. Jeanette, your brother's hurt.
It's fine. It's
are you
fine.
Brother, are you sure you're fine?
Are you okay?
Yes, I just was taken with the passion of the music. It became too intense, but I'm so happy that it happened. It was wonderful.
It was like a sign from God.
It was. We have been blessed this day. I think that we should pray on it. Everyone, we need to pray upon this great sign from the Lord. Everyone open your minds to the maelstrom.
Okay.
I'm going to try to desperately to get Three's attention.
Yeah, so I assume you don't want to open your brain again.
No, I want to stop Three from opening.
That is a good idea. So I think you're interesting. How do I want to do this? Is there something you'd like to... How would you like to react to this? I sort of want to get an idea of what everyone is doing.
I can't do it. I'm not ready to open my brain to the maelstrom yet.
Absinthe, you have to. This is a miracle. There is no greater time to do this. If you will do it once in your life, this is the moment.
And
please, for me.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, okay. I'll open my brain.
You'll do it.
So, I think you might be acting under fire, and that fire is...
Not being obviously trying to...
There we go. And I think you are acting under fire, and you are under a lot of compulsion right now to do this thing. And okay. So I think...
What the hell is...
Six.
Oh, good. Ten.
11.
Okay.
Not doing this thing.
So... You... Okay, so let's... We'll sort of resolve this all in turn. You sort of slide over to three. Mm. And you sort of... What do?
Three. We need to get out of here right now. Why? It's not safe. It's not safe. It's dangerous in here.
Oh, is it off?
No, it's on. No, it's just you guys are whispering.
Oh, I think it'll still pick it up.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. thank you for pointing that out. Stage whisper then.
Three.
Yes. Yes, what?
We have to get out of here right now.
Why? Why would you have to get out of here?
Do you feel that?
Feel what?
The whole... You know, vibrating.
I guess there's some weird energy in here, but... I mean, Found said to open my brain and...
I don't think you want to do that, Three. I think we ought to get out of here right now.
I think that's a manipulate.
It is definitely a manipulate. Eight.
Okay. She needs some concrete assurance.
Ooh. I know you saw me up there, and I think it's a sign.
Yeah, it was like you were kind of watching over us.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, you know, we're on the same wavelength here. You can trust me, right? You know you can trust me.
You promise to protect me?
I promise.
Okay. And then she lets you lead her out of... You sort of sneak out of the room.
Out while everyone is...
Oh, you just got... You just dinged, didn't you? Okay.
Ding, ding.
You two are both opening your brains?
That's true.
Do it.
10.
11.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be really interesting. I'm going to give this to you simultaneously, and this is going to be awesome.
Okay.
You two are both alone in your maelstrom together. Your followers barely register, and the other members of the family barely register with you, as they almost always don't. They're wispy, and they're sort of semi-transparent, as if they're obscured by cloud. You are standing face to face with Found, who again looks like. You know, a medieval knight in full plate, or some sort of a war robot, or something like that. Something big and imposing, and you know, covered by sheets of solid metal. You can see the red of the clouds that conceal the seething face of God. But front and center in your vision is Eliza, and Eliza. Is wearing samite raiment and has beautiful, arching, white, feathery wings spreading from her shoulders. And she's just sort of floating there, silhouetted in the fire of God. So, you're facing Found. Found, you're facing Eliza. What do you do?
There's nobody else there.
They're there, but not really. If that makes any sense. In fact, some other people you expected to see, like you would expect to see Three, pretty concretely, totally not there anymore. Like Three is conspicuously absent. Do you need to take a? Okay.
No.
just, you're basically just staring down the barrels of Found.
I'm here.
Her voice is like crystal.
Eliza.
Found?
Are you an angel?
And his voice is deep and mechanical and resonant and powerful. Like you expect something like that to look. Or to sound.
I don't think so.
Then why do you have an angel's wings?
Oh. You just see wires and, you know, and bits and pieces and, you know.
What do you look like to you?
I am me.
He's totally him. To him.
Okay. Maybe you perceive things different then?
Eliza?
To me, you look like an avenging knight of justice.
I am an avenging knight of justice.
There is, in fact, there's... To punctuate that, behind him, and actually, no, behind you in the darkest part of the sky, there's a peal of thunder and just arcing lightning.
To me, I look like me. Maybe...
That's a lie. Are you trying to lie to him? You're distinctly mechanical.
I assume that's how Eliza really thinks of herself.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean...
I see.
Everybody is a person, except for him, who is a giant, awesome robot.
Well, no. People are sort of skeletal and robotic in the Maelstrom, right? Except you are sort of more substantial.
Yeah.
But still... You still see yourself as a machine. I thought that was the way you said a lot. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
you don't make the distinction.
That's like a metaphor.
Okay, never mind.
It's not. Okay. I mean,
that's fine.
I'm
not saying, I'm just trying to understand.
I look like I'm not trying to tell him that I look like flesh and blood. I'm telling him I look like
okay.
The same way that, you know, Big Fucker and
gotcha. Okay,
Absinthe look like they look like. he doesn't look like he should look like. sorry. Back in character.
I look like me.
I look like me. Everyone looks like them except for you. Maybe it is just our perceptions, or maybe you can see clearer.
Eliza, I have very little patience for this. Right now, you tell me, are you an angel?
I don't know. Do you mean, am I of the host of God?
You have wings. You will explain yourself.
Can I read a person in the Maelstrom?
Yes. Yes, you can. This is a charged interaction, I think.
11.
All right. Ask away.
What do you intend to do?
If I don't find out that you're an angel, I'm going to rip those wings right off of you.
What do you wish I'd do?
I wish you'd tell me that you were an angel, or else I'm gonna have to rip those wings right off of you.
And do remember also that an angel is a medic
mm-hmm.
in this world as well. So, you know, there's that.
Yes.
Go ahead. And remember, you don't have to use all three questions right away.
I'm gonna hold one of them.
Okay.
I'm also impatient.
Is it possible to be an angel without having known it beforehand?
I suppose.
I did heal Absinthe before.
With medical equipment?
With my hands.
With your hands?
Yes, I saw where the bullets were, and I pulled them out.
That is not a magical power. That is not of the Lord. Anyone can do that.
No, no, not like I reached in with my fingers. I looked at her like I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. And I saw where they were, and I pulled them out. I didn't think of it before, but I think you must be right. Maybe I am an angel.
Do you see any bullets in me? You do, if you have that power now. I am riddled.
You know what? There's the armor. Now that you're looking more closely at Found, there's a couple of spots where the armor has been pierced. Although they look more like sword, like a sword or a pick has gone through in this. they're sort of gashes and like.
You are wounded.
Show me that.
Would this count as healing touch? Could I do that while...
Are you wounded right now?
I'm at 9.
You are at 9. Sure.
All right.
Do it in the maelstrom. This is perfect. So roll the dice and I'll tell you what happens.
And that is weird, right? Yeah. So, 7.
Oh, okay. So, read me how that move works.
Okay, I'm a 7-9. Heal one segment, but you're acting under fire from their brain. So you heal a segment.
All right.
No, you're acting under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Roll under fire.
Well,
yeah.
He still heals a segment regardless of what happens.
Oh, okay, okay.
He heals. I don't heal anything.
Okay. So I guess you heal a segment. I'm not going to describe what happens until you...
Before we get there, though, I was at 6 after Kryn fixed me up.
Sure.
A while back, and you said that would heal some on its own. Has it been long enough for me to get into 3?
What session were you... Did you get to 6? You got to 6 at the tanks.
I got to 9 at the tanks. Actually, I got to 9...
Kryn healed you back to 6.
Went up to 9 healing Duncan. Or healing Absinthe. And then Kryn healed me to 6.
That was largely brain damage.
Yeah, it was all brain damage.
So you could recover a segment of that. Actually, who else is at 6 or lower? And you took your damage at the tanks too, but yours is meat damage.
Yes. Yeah.
And you may heal a segment sometime over the course of the current session, depending on how long it runs chronologically. And you are.
That was damage like 3 sessions ago.
Yeah. Wipe out one of those segments, definitely.
I did so.
So,
I don't have anything more to erase.
So I can knock down to 3?
What?
I can knock down to 3?
Yes.
Before
yes.
His brain eats
that,
me alive?
That's, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
So acting under fire.
You roll weird for that, don't you?
I do. Oh, my. 13.
Okay. So, here's what you see, Eliza. You reach out your hand towards one of the largest of the wrens on where? Can you tell me? I'm going to ask you a question. Since you're in the maelstrom. Tell me about one of your old wounds. Tell me about some place where there's a bullet lodged in you. How it got there?
Well, there's a bullet in me. It's not really a single bullet so much as a cluster of shot.
Okay.
It came to me when I was interrogating Three's father.
Okay.
It got me in the shoulder, and my shoulder hasn't been quite right since.
Perfect.
And it pains me at nights.
All right. So there's actually like the armor's actually it looks like it's been like a spike club has shredded it, you know, in one shoulder, and you reach out, and your fingers sort of elongate and become like, you know, like you in the Borg does the thing that they do, like in the later. Oh, you're not a Star Trek guy.
I am a Star Trek, but I'm more classic Star Trek.
Okay.
So I'm not really familiar with the Borg.
But like, so like the sort of the mechanical things, like they telescope into like little sort of like laparoscopic or like a medical scope type things, and you know with little claws at the end, and they you sort of reach in, and. You can feel it's sort of how to put it inside the suit of armor sort of feels ectoplasmic. It doesn't feel like flesh. It's like there's resistance there, but it's not. So you sort of burrow in. You see Eliza, the angel, reach out a hand and just place it on your wounded shoulder, and you can feel the skin heating up under, but it's not a painful heat, it's a warmth, and there's actually light coming from underneath her palm. And the light gets brighter, and the light behind Eliza gets brighter, and it's as it, the clouds are not like parting completely, so you can see the face of God, because you can't, but the clouds are parting, and in the waves of heat, the waves of wrath are flowing over both of you. And you feel there's resistance in there, and sparks of electricity are starting to like run up your arm, and it's actually jolting you, and you feel pain, but you keep pushing until you find what feels like a just a clump of like, you know, little balls or caltrops or something like that in there, and you feel
out.
Yourself pulling, you start easing them out, and you pull them out, and they just go spraying off, you see that the heat is almost overwhelming, but then it immediately dies down, the light disappears, she pulls away her hand, and the skin is perfect and unblemished on the shoulder, as if you had never been wounded.
You are an angel.
I bow to your superior knowledge in these matters.
I must prey upon this.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
No, I must speak with the Lord. This is too much for... I don't even know what to do. I've never seen an angel before. I'd heard stories of them.
You will have to help me.
I will teach you the ways of your people.
Okay.
I want to step away for just 1 minute. Eliza has walked up to Found, still in a trance, and placed her hand on his shoulder, and they're both, and people are starting to murmur around you. Like, Jeanette turns to you, kind of gives you a look. Should we? Are they okay? What's going on?
Don't ask me. What's going on? This is my first time.
Should she be touching your husband like that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they knew each other for longer than I've known them.
I did do this to you at one point too. Remember?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, but I don't know
what I saw when I woke up from you healing me.
Were you unconscious at the time?
Absinthe was wrecked at the time, pretty badly. And I don't know if she would notice, if she would like recognize that was what you were doing, especially since, you know, you just.
Can I read the situation?
Yes, please do that.
Hey, 9. Ask 1.
Yeah, you get 1.
What should I be on the lookout for?
Okay, let me think. Jeanette is probably... It's clear she doesn't trust you. Like, this is all very sort of an upsetting surprise for her. Yeah, and then it's also weird that now Eliza and Found are doing something strange together. Like, She has no idea what to make of you. You really should be trying to... Well, if you care, you should be trying to manage Jeanette.
Jeanette. It's all right. Your brother's a very devout man. You know? And Eliza is one of his faithful.
I know Eliza. But they were never... What's going on? They're in a trance. They're touching each other.
Eliza is very...
Is she doing something to him?
Gifted in ways that are beyond my comprehension. She
does machines.
She does more than machines.
What is she doing to my brother?
I would question what your brother is doing to her.
Eliza. I don't follow. And Fuse sort of stands up next to her and puts his arm around her. What's going on here?
Eliza is very in tune with her psychic side. When we were lost in the swamps just a week or so ago, and Eliza guided us through by opening her mind.
So you're saying what Found is talking to God through her?
Perhaps.
He's never needed someone else for that before.
Maybe she's talking to God through him.
It's a conference call.
They are the two most open to the maelstrom.
To the maelstrom?
You know, to the...
Oh, okay. I just...
Sorry, that's...
Yeah.
That's what the non-devout, we kind of call it that.
Are you not a member of the family?
I'm trying.
Okay.
I'm a member of the family now.
Perhaps,
but I'm...
Perhaps we all have something to learn
relatively
here.
Relatively new. I haven't learned all the lingo yet, you know?
You will, in time.
I'm trying.
Three. Hey, big fucker.
Hey.
Let's go turn on the machine.
I don't know. I mean, that was kind of intense. Don't you want to take a break for a second?
No. I'm inspired. Like I totally like when we were in there all singing, all I could think about was just I need it to get closer to God. I think Found would want me to turn it on.
You know, Three, I'm not... First off, I really doubt that Found would want you to turn it off. But second, maybe God isn't really the best thing to get close to right now.
Big fucker.
Before you judge me. You know, I've seen some weird things, and seeing you in that... doing that, whatever you were doing there, was one of those weird things that I've seen. And, you know, when we turned on the machine before, we got kind of a glimpse at these, you know, there are bigger things in the world, and I think you're tuned into that. Maybe you want to be kind of careful when getting close to this God thing.
She looks hurt, but...
Oh, don't take it like that. No, I don't mean that you're somehow unworthy, or I'm just saying things are... I mean, think of just conceptually, okay? If you were going to be something that could, you know, be what you think of as this entity, you know, what would you have to be like to be something like that? You know, do you really think it's safe to reach out and touch that? I mean, it's...
But that's the whole point of our existence, is to find God and to be close to him.
Well...
Are you...
Can you really be close to something that's... You know, the kind of thing that could engineer something like this is just going to be so much... It's going to be... We're going to be like fucking insects to it.
But God cares about each and every one of us.
But why do you think God cares?
Well, of course he cares. God is like the perfect father.
That's cute, and I like your daddy issues 3, but, you know what? You know what? Fuck it. You're gonna turn on that machine, aren't you? If I'm not around. Be honest.
Well, I could get in trouble. Eliza doesn't want me to. But I really want to, but I guess if I felt like if you were there, then it would be okay. And, like, you pulled me out of the service, and, you know, you said it was important, so maybe, you know, since Eliza is busy...
Oh, okay. You know, we can.
It's okay. It's
oh,
okay.
Jesus! Don't do that. I mean, don't do that. Don't do the guilt thing. Okay. Well.
Okay. Can that be muted? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's actually finished. D&D is not happening tomorrow.
Okay.
Look.
Just making sure everybody knew.
When I pulled you out of there, 3. I saw you doing something pretty weird.
I was just singing.
You weren't just singing, though. I mean, you've got to understand that you can do things that other people cannot do.
But I
You're tuned into something bigger, and maybe that thing that you're tuned into, maybe that's what you're calling God. But I think that thing is the way that you talk about it and the way that Fallon talks about it. I don't think that's a good representation of the nature of whatever the fuck is, you know, pushing the buttons around here.
She looks at you and she's like, "You don't say mean things about God. That's wrong." And she just runs off.
Three, let's go turn on the machine. I'm sorry.
She's gone.
Fuck.
Are you just standing outside the mess
no,
hall?
No, I'm going to look for her.
Okay, you run after her.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jeanette looks like she's still real confused and upset, but she's sort of backing down, and everyone is starting to... So most people can't maintain that... Most people can't open their brains well, and, you know, some people have sort of gone into weird trances, some people are speaking tongues, others have snapped out of it, they're murmuring... And Eliza and Found are still locked. And Fuse walks over, puts a hand on each of them, and separates them. And then he, like, quickly catches both of them to keep them from falling back. You're yanked out. Both of you are yanked out of the maelstrom. When he pulls you two apart, you feel underneath your shirt, you feel what feel like little balls roll down the front of your shirt, and you hear tink 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 on the floor, which is almost drowned out. You hear it because it's right on top of you, but no one else really. Maybe Eliza hears it too. Fuse might hear it, but it's too loud in this room. There's people wailing, speaking in tongues, just generally murmuring, and, you know, what's going on. And Fuse says, "Why don't we finish the service?" And he sort of stands you back up and dusts you off a little bit and steps back.
"Brothers and sisters, I have had a vision."
I'm gonna go sit down.
No.
No, I'm saying I'm like walk over to the nearest table or chair and just sit down.
Okay. "I've had a vision. I must pray upon this. But this is the greatest tiding of all. Food? Food is nothing to this. This changes everything. This changes Sunktown."
Duncan is raising his hand.
"Absent. This is not generally how this works."
Sorry. Can I ask a question?
"I suppose..."
"What changes everything?"
"My vision, Absinthe."
I will need to prey upon it. I must...
Oh, but you can't tell us yet.
I need to understand its true meaning before I can reveal it to my followers.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for the clarification.
It's been a long day. Please disperse. Go find others. Bring as many as you can. These are great times we are living in.
And people slowly snap to and sort of wander out. They're sort of all mulling about. And I want to have a quick break. And then... So, we're going to have Ricara as soon as we... I'll get the sound back on. We're going to have Ricara as soon as we get a good scene to put him in. But, and it's a him, officially. But that is not now. What is now is, do I want to do that? Who wants to go first? Found or Big Fucker? What do we have? You. So, you chased down three.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to the lab, because that's where she stays.
Okay. What's she doing in there?
She's curled up in a corner crying. H is just kind of, like, standing there, like, he doesn't quite know what to do. He turns to you, and he kind of opens his mouth, like, to say something, but he doesn't speak, so...
H, hug your sister.
He looks at you with his one eye. He looks a little healthier. Eliza sprung for some drugs, and he's not quite 100%, but I don't think he'll ever actually be
100%. Right. I mean, it's a lot to live through.
Three is sobbing.
Is it making it any better that he's trying to hug her?
Maybe. Like... She's sort of rocking back
three,
and forth.
Three. You okay? Sweetie.
You said... What was mean things you said?
I wasn't trying to say mean things.
There's a voice behind you. Joe's girl walks into the room. I saw you leave. Is everything okay? What's wrong with the girl?
I don't know. I think I've upset her.
She walks over there and sort of hunches down. She's like, honey, what's wrong? Did you upset the girl?
I didn't mean to. I was trying to protect her.
She smiles. It's like... You're good at that. She stands up and walks over to you. She says... I heard you found mine. Well, you found Joe.
Yes, I did.
You tried to save him?
Yes. In a very... Look, I understand that he wasn't the greatest guy, and I really didn't want him to hurt you, but I didn't want him to bleed out or die. I just want everything to be running smoothly.
She gives you a complex expression and says, after a pause, I'm glad, but... I think I'm also glad that he's gone. It makes things a lot clearer.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay. I'm glad to see you're okay.
She looks up at you, puts her hand on your shoulder, and says, she like catches herself and like, we need to make sure she's okay. And she goes back over to three. Three is still sort of rocking back and forth and sobbing. And there's sort of a keening inside your head, but it's not very strong.
Okay.
What do you do?
Three?
Yes?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to help.
It's okay, but what if you're right?
Well,
what if I'm like crazy or something?
Oh, you're
or...
not crazy, girl. You're crazy tuned into things.
But what? Like, I always thought like God would be like, he would care. You know, he'd be like. Like my dad wasn't. Like, he would care about me.
Well, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just an asshole in a mask, you know?
Don't say that. And, you know, Joe's girl turns to you and you're not really helping.
I'm gonna try to hug three.
Okay.
I'm gonna try.
You hug three.
Okay.
She calms down a little bit.
Okay. It's okay, kiddo. You know, and you know, worst case scenario, we, you know, everyone here, you know, you got the family. We got each other.
Yeah. I really still want to turn the machine on, because maybe they don't know. Maybe I can find out. You know? But maybe I shouldn't. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not really God in there.
Well,
maybe that's something bad.
You know, maybe those are words that are not right to describe this. You know, maybe might be bigger than that.
What's the girl talking about?
It's hard to. You were at the service.
Yeah.
You hear that music.
Yes. Yes, it was. I've never experienced anything like that before.
Three is tuned into that somehow.
The girl.
She's like a fucking...
She winces when you curse.
Tuning fork. You know, just resonates.
She kind of puts her hand on the side. She puts her hand on the side of your face and says, "There's no need to curse, especially in front of a child."
I'm gonna kind of. I'm very uncomfortable.
Yeah, what do you do? And in fact...
I'm going to read a sitch.
I think you should read a sitch.
Or read a person.
Yeah, that's...
Sorry.
No, yeah,
that's
you should read a person. You really can't read a sitch right now. You can totally read a person. Which one are you reading? I think you read either of them right now.
I got an 8, and I am reading... Actually, I'm reading the Jizz Girl.
Okay, you have one question. What would you like to ask?
What does your character wish I'd do?
More what she wishes you'd be. She wants you to be the man. She wants you to be the dad in this situation. She expects it from you.
Well, that's good, because my character wants to be the dad in this situation.
Good.
So,
then we can proceed.
All right. So he's going... I'm just going to try and calm down three as much as I can. And...
How are you doing that?
Well, right now, I'm going to lift her up on her feet.
You sort of stand her up.
And do the irresponsible dad thing, which is go and help her turn on that machine.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Really? It's okay.
No, but it's what you want.
You're right. I mean, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And she sort of runs into the back room where that thing is, and said, "Okay. I have to remember what Eliza was doing when she did this." She turns a knob. She did this. Wait. She. She picks up the basket, so turns it over, and she like. It's too big. It's too small. H. And she puts the thing on H's head.
Oh, Jesus.
And she sort of holds it, and she's like, "All right, flip that switch."
Are you gonna electrocute him? Please don't electrocute your brother.
No, I'm pretty sure this will work. I wouldn't hurt him.
Okay, you wouldn't hurt him, but the machine might hurt him.
Well, you'll protect him, won't you?
I will, but I can only protect people from, you know, electricity.
What is the girl doing? What is this thing? What is this machine?
Close the door.
Okay. There isn't a door.
Hmm?
There isn't a door. There's like...
She's gonna push something in front of the door. That's what I mean.
Okay, I guess. And she pushes a table in front of the door.
Okay.
Is this gonna be okay? Is the girl gonna be hurt? Is the boy gonna be hurt?
Hopefully not. Look, that's why I'm here. To oversee reckless things. That would be more reckless otherwise.
Okay. You flip the switch?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking... Three's eyes go wide. She's sort of holding the side of H's head. H's one remaining eye goes wide. And, that... Her eyes actually start to sort of... Like, rapid eye movement, but with her eyes wide open. It's weird, like, watching her do this thing. Is she okay? Is she okay? What's going on? What's going on?
I don't know. Three...
She's not responding. What do you do?
H.
He's not. He's certainly not responding. What do you do?
Fuck. Okay. I'm gonna grab her shoulders.
Okay.
I'm gonna just give her a little bit of a shake. Three.
Would it be okay if you went into the maelstrom right now?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I think you go into the maelstrom right now. Okay. I think when you touch her, you go right. You go into the maelstrom.
Boom. Okay.
Roll.
Nine.
Okay. And since you're acting on the advice to an extent,
mm-hmm. We'll
call that a 10. You're back in the grinding, and this is... You're actually in a storm of splintered rock that's flying around at high speed right now. This is where this is where everything is breaking down. This is the heart of it, the heart of that storm. It feels as if these razor-sharp pieces of rock are tinging off of you and cutting you. But, you know that this is not really what's happening. The damage isn't real. Mm-hmm. It's purely psychic. And, Three is just standing in the middle of this... Sort of the eye of the storm, maybe, mm-hmm. You'd say. And H is in front of her. And she's sort of nodding and cocking her head as if she's listening to something. Actually, the perspective is really weird, and once you figure it out, she's actually, it almost actually is as if she's listening to something H is telling her. But H is bigger than her in the maelstrom, and he's got both eyes. One of them is like a black marble. The one that's missing in real life is in the maelstrom. It's like a black marble. And you can see his lips moving, but you can't hear what he's saying. And three is just, you know, what do you do?
Three!
She doesn't respond.
I'm gonna try to... When you say that she's, like, surrounded, am I floating? Am I standing? What
you're floating.
I'm floating.
You're floating, and you're caught in sort of the eye wall. So you're actually being... You're being somewhat shredded, actually,
okay,
right now by this stuff. And it hurts.
Try to
move... The pain is real.
Towards her.
The
pain.
I think you are acting under fire. And the fire is you're actually going to... The pain is gonna cut through and do psychic damage to you.
Fire is cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool.
11.
Okay. You do it. You move through, you endure the pain. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there in the eye with her, and you hear this whispering. And it is a sinister thing. That
he's talking out of age.
It's weird, because on one hand, it is so quiet you can't make out the words. On the other hand... He is speaking with the sound of the celestial spheres shattering.
Yeah.
So you are not you. It is clear to you that there is something terribly amiss here, as there usually is.
Three.
This.
Three.
She's not responding.
I'm going to try and touch her.
H. reaches out and grabs your wrist with a strength that is uncanny.
H, let go. H, I punch him.
There you go.
Solve problems with fists.
I'm gonna punch him in that eye. That's in the black eye.
Oh, I like it a lot. Aggro. This is not seized by force. This is aggro.
That is an 11.
Okay. So he can suck it up and take it, or do what you want him to do. I think he sucks it up and takes it. And I think you punch him right in that eye, and the eye shatters.
Ooh.
H disappears. Like you see his head go back. You see shards of black, literally black glass or obsidian flying out of his eye. You can feel immediately you sliced your knuckles up something awful. I mean, not that the rest of you wasn't already sliced up. And he falls back for a second, and then winks out of existence. And three sort of like looks around, and there is. Where H was, there's sort of a vague, dark, vaguely person-like shape, but you can't quite focus your eyes on it. And three turns to you and says, "You were wrong." And then you're back in the lab. And H is collapsed, unconscious, lolling with black fluid trickling out of his nose. Three has fallen back into you.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe's girl is just sort of standing there wondering what's going on. What do you do?
I'm gonna try and shake Three a little bit. Wake up! Fucking hell, what was that?
You were wrong. God was talking to me. Through H.
You mean the wax snot globe eye thing?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't see that?
I saw H. He was whole.
Really? Because I saw H and he had a black fucking eye, monster eye, that was gross. And then there was black fluid, and then he was... What did he tell you?
He told me that everything was about to change. That God was coming.
God was coming. What does he mean by that?
God is coming here.
Here?
Here.
Like Sundown.
Yeah. Here. Oh, it's gonna be so great. Aren't you excited?
I have to tend to your brother.
Yeah, H is sort of lulling a little bit.
Okay, let's see, who's the only person I know? Crin's out of it.
Do you know that? You actually don't know Crin?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
But I know Crin's missing.
You do know Crin's missing. Everyone knows Crin's missing.
Who's the... Doesn't Mercer have a... Like a medic type person?
Mill.
Mill is the closest person. Joe's girl.
Mm-hmm.
Go get Mill.
Mill?
Mill. She, okay, you know where Mercer is. Okay.
Mill is... You can describe Mill. Mill is about 5'6", sort of cropped brown hair, straight, sort of a square build.
Okay, yeah. That woman, alright, she's a medic, okay? She's the best we have. We can't find Crin. Go get her. She'll know what to do.
Oh, okay. And she sort of throws the table out of the way and runs off.
Go fast.
Three says to you, So aren't you excited?
I don't know what to think. Aren't you worried about H? Look at him. Whatever that thing was, jeez.
H, are you okay? H? And then you hear H inside your head. He sort of perks up. He's still got some black stuff running down his chin.
Try to wipe it off his face.
It smears a little bit. I mean, it's...
Is it like black bile, or is it like that stuff?
It's sort of that stuff.
Okay.
But it hasn't sort of evaporated yet. Mm-hmm.
You see the slime?
What is that?
It's the stuff that tried to hurt Eliza earlier and tried to kill me earlier in the lab.
Well, maybe a demon tried to stop us from talking to God. I mean...
This is what came out of your brother. I don't know what to... I don't know what to think. I just... You know what? Why don't you stay here with your brother, and, you know, we'll just not talk about this. We won't tell... Don't tell Eliza we turn on the machine.
Tell Eliza what? I assume you would have come back from services.
Actually, after the services were over, I was going to talk to Fallon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's put this one on hold.
So, Fallon may actually be showing up the same time I do.
Well, okay.
About her surprise party!
Would you guys have gone back to your office first, or would you have gone back to Eliza's workshop first?
Oh, no, we would go to my office first.
Okay, let's have a scene in your office. So back in your office, and let's say Absinthe is also there, unless you wouldn't have a reason to be.
No,
you,
I probably would definitely am following Found around.
I should
assume. Most places he goes now.
So you all are back there, and Jeanette and Fuse are there with you, and... Jeanette says, once you get all the way back there, brother, you need to explain to me what that was all about. I feel like, you know, I've left for a few weeks, and everything here has changed. You're married? You didn't even tell me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That I'm happy for you.
Yes, oh. It was meant to be.
It was kind of a spur of the moment thing, you know.
I'm sorry I couldn't tell you, Jeanette. I have been very busy. Things, as you have said, are changing rapidly, and I wish that I could have time to take out. To have more social encounters, but I simply didn't have the time to write you.
Well, I suppose I ought to tell you, then. Seems like as good a time as any. Fuse and I are having a baby.
It's wonderful news.
so glad to hear that.
I'm not entirely surprised. I was worried that something like that was happening, so that's why I wanted you to get married.
But
she sort of fuses like worried.
Of course, to raise a child without marriage, it would be terrible.
You're a very judgmental person, you know that, Found?
The Lord judges, and I am his servant.
The Lord forgives. That's what I was taught. You know, I'm willing to accept that we worship the same God. But I think we have some significant differences of belief between the two of us.
The Lord, of course, forgives as well as judges. It is only a question of what is in the heart of the person. If they want forgiveness, it is given. But if they do not, the Lord has no mercy for their kind.
The world has no mercy. The Lord has infinite mercy.
For those who worship him.
For all the children of the Lord.
We are all his children, but some of us have left for some time. I sort of look at Jeanette.
he notices. Says, our grandparents and our great-great-grandparents left. They made a mess of things. I can't believe the Lord I was raised to worship . He loves us. He loves his creation. And he is trying very hard to help us to put it back together.
But the Lord sometimes needs to break down before he can build. Even Absinthe knows the story of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah especially.
Yeah, maybe. Did you want me to tell him?
Well, I was using it as an example.
Okay, good.
I mean, really? Really, what? Sweetheart?
And then, Fuse recites the story word for word as if he was reading from the King James Bible. Of Abraham and Lot and the destruction of, what the hell city was that? Because I don't remember.
Sodom.
It was Sodom. Yeah. So it was like, yeah. And if there was only, if there are five just people, if there is one just person left, says, that is the mercy of the Lord. Don't forget it. Because I am only a man, and I would not be so merciful. Jeanette, I think we should be going soon.
You don't want to stay and live with us?
Join us.
I have my own calling.
But you would not deprive Jeanette of her family. That would be cruel and irresponsible.
Brother, I have prayed long and hard with Fuse. And I believe in the truth of what you say, but I also believe in the truth of what he says. I think he is called to a mission that extends beyond the borders of Sunktown, or even Skullhead. That's why we've left Skullhead. Things here are changing.
They are changing, and they are changing to fit the Lord's image. Jeanette, would you leave me now when I need you the most?
Found, don't we need people from everywhere?
We do need people from everywhere.
If they go out, isn't that more chance that we can get more people?
We need every hand we can possibly have
right now. There will be a time when we need to go forward. But it is not this time.
I have a thing I need to show you. I think that they need to go and do what they need to do to further the Lord's work.
Oh, you know the Lord's work?
I am coming to understand it, thanks to you.
Oh, so you, who sometimes show up occasionally to my services, are beginning to understand the things that I have taught you. And so now you believe a different thing than I believe. I should think...
The greatest sin, according to the scriptures, is pride.
The greatest sin is weakness.
If a man strikes you on one cheek, turn and allow him to strike the other cheek. That is the word of the Lord.
That is the word of a man.
You call Christ a man?
Was he not both man and Lord? Do you not think that his human form corrupted his message, made him soft? Sure, there are many things that he had right. But don't you think he was just too weak? That's why he died. That's not why he wasn't a king.
He came to earth and died in order to experience the suffering that we mortals experience on a daily basis, so that God could fully understand our pain and give us respite from it.
God does not need to concern himself with our pain. All things are in the glory of the Lord. You speak of a Lord who does not even understand his creations?
I speak of a Lord who cares about even the least and most flawed of his creations.
Of course he must care about the least and most flawed of his
creations. But I will not sit here and listen to this blasphemy.
I think you need to understand the Lord a little better. And I'm going to use one of my moves.
Would anyone like to help or interfere?
Ooh, I want to help.
What are you doing?
Well,
distracting tits.
Direct brainer whisper is the move that I'm performing.
That's what I thought you were going to do. Would you like to help or interfere?
No. Not... I don't know. My goal right now is to put him in the machine so that he can talk to God better. Because I've become convinced in the last few.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if... No, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to help because I think that...
You actually can't both help, but one of you could interfere.
Well, then I'm not going to do
it. Okay. Roll for your help.
Okay.
Just do this.
I got an HX you have with me.
Everybody should.
Maybe enough?
Turn.
Yeah.
Talk to God.
All right. Some kind of plus one, you say.
Perhaps you pull Jeanette away from him so he's isolated.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
My eyes don't go black this time. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my eyes were always black. And maybe, just at the corners of vision, there's a couple of little black tendrils. Not enough so as you'd notice.
Yeah.
But they're there.
They're there. Roll.
That is a 12.
It's true. So, on a 10 plus... He can do what he want, do what you want, or he can suck it up. And what is it that you're trying to get him to do?
I want him to agree that what I am saying is not only true, but that he must stay here and help me achieve it.
He's going to suck it up and take it. That's one psi harm.
Okay.
His eyes roll back in his head. And he clutches the sides of his head, and he... Ah! You're the devil! And he sort of stumbles back And he turns around and he's like, he doesn't have a weapon on him right now. He reaches for where his gun would be, except he took it off to come into the compound. And he grabs Jeanette and makes a run for the door, holding his head.
All right. Well, let's see. If he's going to grab Jeanette, I think what I would like to do is grab Jeanette.
Okay. You're not at all fazed by the "you're the devil"?
Oh, I'm super fazed.
Want to, in character, forgetting myself, but out of character not, grab him and correct him.
Grab Fuse.
To say he is not the devil.
Are you trying to get in his way on the way out?
No, I actually want to lay on hands on him.
Oh. I think you're going to have to stop him physically to do that.
Okay.
So you want to roll a seize by force, where the seizing by force is you're trying to stop him from bowling you over on the way out the door, because he's not paying much attention.
Okay.
You are also probably going to be doing a seize by force, grabbing Jeanette from him.
You know what? I actually think I've got a different priority.
Okay.
I think I'm going to continue doing a seize by force, but I will not be targeting Jeanette. I will be targeting him and his life.
Interesting. I don't think you can do that move again. I think you've used your
no, with a gun.
Okay.
The gun? No, a gun.
Oh. Okay, good, because then you'd probably kill, like, me and Jeanette and Absinthe and...
So, rather than a seize by force, then, I think what I'm going to have you do is a under fire, and the fire is you get hit by found shooting.
Okay.
Regardless of what happens here, would you like to help or hinder either of these people? Or do something else entirely?
I'm just watching.
All right, so under fire first.
No, you roll first.
I am not the devil, but you will meet him shortly for your blasphemy. And that is a mere 9. So I get to pick 2?
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? That's go aggro, which is still hard, so it doesn't matter, because she's not armed.
Okay. Well,
so that's a 9, you said?
Yeah.
I need to look at the move.
Which move? Oh, go aggro?
Yeah.
Oh, right, I was confused. I was like, go aggro is cool.
Now you roll.
Alright, so do something under fire.
Oh, good.
14.
So your spooky intense gets you out. You're like, you know a second before he pulls out the gun that he's going to pull out the gun, and you're like, oh, crap. Here's what happens. Well, let's wait till Caitlin gets back.
Can I still do the healing touch?
No, you had to get out of the... Oh, wait, you're right, no, you did get to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you actually get to him, and this is actually what happens. He turns around... Well, I'll wait till Caitlin... So there's a sequence of things that'll happen here, actually, that makes sense.
Should I go ahead and roll for the healing touch?
You want to go ahead and roll for that. Okay.
Because, you know, I could, like, touch him and fall down. Jesus.
What?
Or I could roll 14 again.
Okay. There you go.
Which is just, he heals one segment.
So let's say you actually duck behind him, mm-hmm. using him for cover. As Found brings his weapon up. So you're not going to get hit if Found decides to start shooting.
It's not that I'm ducking behind him, it's that I, knowing I can't grab him to stop him, I've walked in front of him prevent him from leaving.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Which ends up putting me behind him as far as Found is concerned, but,
okay. So here's what happens. found, or sorry, Fuse is not the dullest knife in the drawer. He sees you going for his gun, and despite being you interpose yourself between him and the door, and he immediately turns around, puts his hands up, and Jeanette says, "No!" and throws herself in front of him. You have a choice. You can shoot, but you'll hit both of them. Or you can hold your fire.
I couldn't shoot Jeanette. I just hold the gun at them.
Yeah. Jeanette's actually sort of like this. And you come up from behind, and I guess you grab his head, which is, appears to be where the damage is.
Sure, and
so
he is not the devil.
And so here's the thing. Here's what you feel. You feel filaments, what feel like filaments of wire inside his head, there's a. You can sense found in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know he did this, and you sort of snake, you know, like you see these things actually start to like sort of like pull themselves out as you're holding him, pull themselves out of his head, and they dissolve as soon as they get into the air. And he sort of shakes his head and blinks, and he says, "I don't want any trouble. I'm sorry for what I said. It was rash of me." He's still got his hands raised.
We're all...
I don't know what you did, girl, but...
Family here.
Thank you. And Jeanette looks at you with a look of... She's still looking at you with a sort of a look of horror on her face.
Well, she should. I'm pointing a gun at her.
Yeah. Brother. Brother, please. And she gets on her knees, and she gets down on her knees, and she starts to pray.
Fuse.
Yes, found.
Do you understand what you have done?
I believe I do.
Do you repent truly from the bottom of your heart? Say now that you repent. Your sins will be forgiven. The Lord is forgiving of those who ask of it. But if you go without, I cannot promise you any mercy.
He starts reciting a litany. I have murdered. I have stolen. I have taken the Lord's name in vain. I have coveted with that which is not mine. And he goes off. He reads you. It's actually a thing.
I believe you.
Active contrition?
Sure.
It's one of those. It's actually, I'm thinking of actually the thing that's said on Yom Kippur for Jews. But
yes.
Yeah, we have murdered, we have stolen, we have the rest of that. But yeah. But he's actually.
Ow.
You're pretty sure he's actually done all of these things in his life.
Yeah.
And I beg every day for the Lord's forgiveness.
Do you beg for this? Do you need forgiveness for this? For blaspheming here?
I require forgiveness for coming into my sister's brother's house and insulting him and rejecting his hospitality. For that I am deeply ashamed.
But you have not answered my question.
Are you going to shoot me? Are you going to shoot the father of your niece or nephew right here in front of your sister? And he actually puts his hands down. He says, if you're going to do it, do it. I've lived long enough.
Give me your hand.
No.
Give me your hand.
Found.
I'm leaving.
We're family.
We're leaving. There's no need for violence.
I will let you live. But only because of her. If you ever come back here, I will kill you where you stand.
That's
you are a blasphemer, and you are not welcome.
That's good enough for me. And he Jeanette looks at you. And, boy, a look crosses her face. And she stands up. She grabs Fuse's hand and sort of pushes him, staying sort of between you and him, out the door.
I holster my pistol.
It's just the three of you.
I...
What?
Do you remember my machine?
Yes, I remember the machine you had to block the Lord's voice.
That is not all it can do.
What do you mean?
It's hard to describe it. You know how... in the sermon... when we opened our minds and prayed, we saw different things. It can amplify that. Make it easier to see.
Well, that is very interesting, Eliza. But as usual, that is not what I want to hear right now.
We can't.
My
really
sister
have what
just
we
left.
Want.
I'll never see her again.
Can I read the situation? I mean, read a person, rather.
Yeah.
Can I read...
You should start interacting with him a little bit, and then you can read him. You can't read him cold without having without starting a conversation. So you should get yourself involved in the conversation first.
Okay. What do you want to hear right now, Found?
I don't know. Anything. Tell me I'm not the devil. You know I'm not the devil.
I don't think you're the devil.
I think you should prove it.
Whoa.
What?
He doesn't have to prove he's not the devil.
That's I know he's not the devil. He is worried. If he proves it to himself, then he will know.
I have never thought I was the devil.
You just sounded like you were worried that you were.
Well, that's because you don't know me.
I would
feel better if I saw for myself.
Then you should go... and let me hook you into the machine.
You have
you
a machine
come.
That can tell people they're not the devil?
No. I mean, I could make a little box that would do that, but it wouldn't really be very effective because it would just say you're not the devil, and that wouldn't really prove anything. No.
Yeah,
I have a machine that can let you look outside at everything. Everywhere. And if he could see everything, he'd be able to see he wasn't the devil. Would you come with us? The machine is kind of dangerous. We need someone who is not in it to make sure and turn it off if we spend too long in there.
Sure.
I would love for you to be there. Also, why aren't you wearing any clothes?
What? You told me you liked me better this way.
Roll to read.
Nine.
Alright, you have a question now or later?
I think I'm actually going to hold it.
Okay.
That's not a bad
I had a question for that exact moment, but since that moment is past, good.
Yeah, I think I've already convinced you, so I guess I don't have to roll to manipulate to try and convince him.
No. That is certainly not necessary. I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize. This is confusing. That's why I didn't give you a straight answer right off the bat when you asked if I was an angel. Because
are you all head down to the
Yeah. Let's all head down with no one being there at all.
So don't tell Eliza about the machine as Eliza walks in.
What about the machine?
That it's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
I may have turned it on.
The biblical... Is everybody okay? Is anyone hurt?
Age is hurt. I don't know. Three?
I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay.
Look, I did a stupid fucking thing.
Yes. What is it? Are you alright?
I spoke to God.
You spoke with God? Like... Did you hear words?
Mm-hmm. He told me he's coming.
When?
Soon. Here.
In Sunktown, he talked
He's coming here?
He's coming here. Soon.
He talked through H. That's why fucking H is out.
You punched God?
No. Bigfucker didn't punch anyone.
I didn't...
I turned the machine on. I'm sorry. Well, I had entered the machine
on. I was watching her. It's my fault. It's not
and
her fault.
So, but I went in there and God spoke through H and he told me he's coming.
Oh,
is that the only thing he said?
We do.
She sort of holds her head like this. She's just like, I'm trying to remember. It's like kind of like a dream, you know? He said, prepare yourselves. I'm not sure what that means.
I know what it means.
It was incredible.
Why did he speak to you?
Well, because I turned the machine on.
Whoa, what does that mean?
I haven't heard of anyone who has spoken with him.
Well, what's wrong with three?
Joe's girl comes back with Mill.
Mill.
There's a...
Do fix the thing.
Mill?
Is the child hurt? I'm sorry, Found. There's an injured child.
Your angel's been missing, okay? I don't know what he's up to, okay? But right now we need someone who can fucking attend to this child medically, okay?
Mill, do you actually know how to heal someone? Do you have any expertise in this?
I have some training. Look... Where's Crit?
I haven't seen him for days. Absent?
Well, last time I saw him, he was being, like, creepy some bitch.
Well, that sounds right.
Why are you in a dress?
No, she's not.
Oh, no, never mind. Yeah.
Established that.
Sorry. Yeah. My bad.
I know.
No, hold on a second.
Everybody.
I've got the med kit here. Absent, you tell him. And she, like, pulls H up and puts him on a thing and she's like, she pulls out a thing and starts looking in his eyes.
Can you do that somewhere else?
Whoa. Priorities, please. There is an unconscious child.
Tell the kid's got a head wound and I've got to treat it. And moving him is about the worst thing I could do right now.
Yeah. Found?
Let me see. I actually have...
No! Get away! You weirdo, get away!
I have life support in my workspace now.
Eliza's good. Eliza's good. Eliza can do things.
We don't need you.
We do need her.
Eliza can fix it. Have you not seen this?
Two people is better than one with something like this.
All right, well...
Yeah, that's like fucking math.
I don't know what it's actually involved in using a workplace. Or life support.
Let me see.
It just says add life support to your workspace, and now you can.
Is life support a thing on an?
Life support, I guess, is like it's like the angel. It's like the angel kit. You spend stock to heal someone. Let me look at the angel move, and can someone give me the angel?
I took that a while ago.
I know.
I didn't write down what it did.
Okay, use an angel kit to stabilize to heal someone. Oh, that's interesting. Do I have the angels? You have the angels thing again, don't you? Or did you take it back?
Caitlin's got it.
Angels right here. Angels right here.
Oh, no.
I don't know what it is. Just need to see. Okay. Oh, wait. You begin with 6 stock. But, no, to help somebody recover who is at 3 or 6 o'clock, you don't roll. But I think you need to spend. Since you don't roll, we'll say you can spend 1 stock to get each put back together. So you have 5 stock left.
Okay. To further complicate things, earlier, I advanced, mm-hmm. and I took advanced 3 basic moves.
Which is?
Do something under fire, seduce or manipulate, and open brain.
Okay. So, did you do one of those things?
No, I haven't done those. Okay. I didn't know if you needed to know that now.
I do need to know that, but I'm glad you said it. Just remind me if you... Now you just have to remind me. Remind me if you roll 12 plus.
Okay.
Okay.
I've done it twice. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
It's a 29% chance if you get a plus 3.
Yeah.
I don't. I get a plus 2.
That is less.
Well, it's like a 1 in... What, 1 in 12? Or 1 in 6? Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Point being... So, yeah.
It's 1 in 12.
So, you quickly... You and Mill quickly lay H out, and... Where did you get all this stuff?
It's complicated. We used some of the some of it was donated after we came back with the food, and...
Mercer should know there's another infirmary here.
This is the first time I've had to use it, and I asked to speak to Mercer as soon as we got back, and he was too busy to talk to me.
She looks frustrated.
Tell
Mercer... Whatever. Like, let's just fix the kid up. Meanwhile, anybody else doing anything?
Well, I desperately need to get Eliza out of the room to talk to her at some point.
Dangerous.
Well, there's an alarm. Goes up through the compound. This is the summons. This is the everybody topside.
What is this usually? A raid?
It could be... No, the raid is different because the raid is everybody take cover. This is... There's something important going on. Get your asses up here.
Okay.
It's mostly, like, Mercer's men are required. It's... Mercer prefers it if everybody comes topside.
Well, I'll see what's going on, I suppose. Unless...
We've waited this long. If you can... Wait till we see whatever craziness.
I need to know what Mercer has to say.
Yeah, we'll come back to this.
You, of course, come with me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'll have to stay with Bill and finish taking care of the kid. Unless you're going to leave him on the table.
I'll leave Mill. Is Mill okay to finish?
Mill doesn't understand any of your equipment.
Oh.
Also, she's super summoned.
I understand all of the equipment. I've worked in the lab.
Mill, I'll tell Mercer that you're down here.
No, I... Eliza's got this taken care of. Let's go up. Let's go topside. And are you gonna... Now that...
Yeah, I'm gonna take advantage of this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, what happens here?
Now, are you staying or
no.
Are you going?
No, I'm going.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm paying attention to H and...
You gotta talk.
Okay.
Okay. The machine. There is... I know you're really super into the whole found thing. With the whole god stuff. And that's great. And, you know, I've tried not to make this an issue, but the thing that she's describing that found is looking for, it's not god.
I just thought the same thing you did at first, but I'm less sure now.
You should have seen what was talking out of H.
Talking out of H?
When she put that helmet on H's head and was talking, it was not anything like you describe as...
Wait, did 3 go into the machine or did H go into the machine?
Both. I don't know how to describe it. She put the helmet on his head.
The basket.
Yeah.
Out of character, I know what happened. Yeah.
And, you know, he was in, and then she was in, and then I was in. And he was talking to her. But it wasn't him. He had this eye, and it was all black and shit, and it was... I don't know how... It was bad. It was bad. It was bad. Even I know it was bad. I don't know what it is, but it's trying to... It can hurt people. I just trust me on this. It's not... I don't...
Maybe,
you know,
maybe she didn't have it set up right. I think that's what happened the first time.
Okay, that's...
Joe's girl steps in at this place and is like, no, I saw it. If he hadn't been here, the girl would be dead. The boy would be dead. There's something bad in there.
You know what? I don't know what it is, but the thing that said it was coming, it isn't your god. Something, the thing that tried to say it was coming is something else. I don't know what it is, but it's not that. And it's big, and it scares me.
I'm not sure what to do. I mean... God is greater than all of us.
Okay, that's fine. This...
Even with the machine, our perceptions are flawed.
Why would it ruin each like that? Why would it hurt?
The machine's not designed for two people to be in it at the same time.
Do you really think that... I just can't believe we're...
I think you want something. I think you could read her, or you could try to manipulate her at this point.
Manipulate.
You sure you don't want to figure out what's going on?
You know what? I'll read. You know, you made it sound good. Alright. That's an 8.
Okay, good. You get to ask a question, and I think that does mark XP for you today.
Yep. I don't know which one you're pointing at, Will.
Read a person.
He's
pointing
at all
of them. Okay. I thought you were trying to tell me a message.
He's being unhelpfully helpful.
No, I was trying to read where on the page. Also had that wonderful face. For those at home, I had a wonderful face.
How could I get your character to believe me?
That's a good question. I definitely believed the same thing before. And I think I've been convinced by talking to Found and the Maelstrom otherwise.
Maybe you'd need a better description of what it looked like. Like, remember the black crap you saw before?
Yeah.
You knew that was trying to kill people. Maybe you need like a slightly better description of what it was.
I don't know, I kind of feel like I believe that you believe
right. What
you're saying, but that you're wrong.
But how could I get you to believe?
Three kind of like puts up, you know, kind of squeezes up between you and guys, and it's like, why do you keep saying that? God totally spoke to me.
Three. I trust you, and you're powerful as hell. And something's going on with you and Maelstrom that I can't understand, but I think there's something that's trying to hurt you.
She...
If God is out there, I want you to find God, but I don't think that's... I don't think that's it.
I was convinced that this was bad when I first saw it. And you and Found have, I think, convinced me that it's not. But I trust Big Fucker. I've been through a lot with Big Fucker. And Big Fucker has saved me twice, in UNH wants?
Her eyes go wide and roll back, and she yells, "No!" and picks up a soldering iron.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What do you do? You, either of you can act if you so desire.
Who's she aiming at?
I'm
gonna tackle her.
Seize by force.
Ouch, 7.
Well,
it's a pass.
Yeah.
Pick 2.
Yeah, what do I want? Draw it there. I take definite hold and suffer and I take definite hold of her and I impress dismay or frighten my enemy.
That's the right choice. So you go for the soldering iron?
Yeah.
Okay. You go for the soldering iron and you actually grab the hot part of it and burn your hand. Take 1 harm.
But it looks really cool.
Smells.
And then your elbow follows through. It hits her right in the jaw,
mm-hmm.
knocking a couple of teeth out.
Cool.
And you send her sprawling onto the ground, still holding. You're still holding the soldering iron. And she slides into a corner, bleeding. Her lip is gashed, and she's out completely cold.
All right.
So that happened.
No.
All the day's work.
Why does everything keep falling apart?
Fuck!
I know.
The game is, of course, called Apocalypse World.
Wait, hold
Dave
on a second.
Dave is pointing to.
Hold on a second.
No, I know.
It's also in the description of the savvy head.
Yeah. So,
fuck.
That is also
is she gonna be
Big
okay?
Fucker's name.
Okay.
You know, I just got
the
medibay set up. I don't want to run out of supplies before
I didn't
even...
mean to. I just didn't want her to hit you in the... with the solder.
Alright, look at your hand.
That's pretty cool.
No!
Right?
Joe's girl is looking at you with a combination of like their emotions you can't even fathom. At least one of them is positive, at least one of them is very negative. She reaches out to you and touches the scar on your hand.
Yeah. Ow. She
runs over to 3 and starts like I think she's okay.
Is she okay? Okay.
I think she's okay.
Okay.
She's breathing.
Good.
She's breathing. How do you tell somebody has a concussion? Because I don't know.
She's unconscious. She probably has a fuck.
All right.
Eliza, I'm sorry.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
All right.
Are you okay?
I'm going to see to found or to 3.
All right, and then we'll cut back to up top. So up top, Mercer has assembled a bunch of people. The bloated, rotting body of Kryn is laid out. Where the parts that are still left. The parts that. So it looks like the headular area. Was perhaps removed, perhaps by a shotgun at close range.
And some horrible crocodile took his balls. That's terrible, and I had nothing to do with it.
Well, the fish and other scavengers have been nibbling at the rest of it. So a lot of the fleshy bits are gone, but the parts that aren't are sort of like that spongy, swollen waterline nastiness. And Mercer and Rourke are standing there over the body, and Mercer's men are all lined up, and one of the motions to you looks at Founder and is like, I think Shan kind of was like, she gives you the stay hand signal.
Is it obvious to me who this is?
Yeah, because it's wearing Crin's like white coat.
Then I'm going to freak the fuck out and run there as fast as I can to my friend's side.
And Rourke gets between you and Crin's body.
Rourke, this is my friend. What did you do to him?
He was murdered. I didn't do anything to him.
Who murdered him?
We don't know, but given the activity lately, we suspect Rikara.
Rikara killed my friend? Rikara killed Crin?
Rikara has been attacking our assets throughout the swamp. He went after our fuel supply. Doesn't surprise me that he'd go after our medic, too.
This can't be allowed.
Mercer stands up and he's like, no, it can't. So today is the day we will fight back. And he gestures, these brave men and women are about to go out and face the enemy on their own turf. These brave men and women are about to risk their lives to prevent this, they point to Crin's body, from happening to anyone else here.
But Mercer, aren't you weeks late? This is our medic.
Rourke grabs you by the neck. Would you like to do anything about that?
Allow me to think for a moment.
Wouldn't you like your weeks long?
No, I think right now this is not the time.
Actually, he's using his other hand because he's got the shield cat in there. As I was saying, he's always given a good speech, by the way. He's a good team captain.
I was waiting for a good time to start clapping.
Yeah. We've lived too long in fear. We've lived too long behind high walls. In the safety that comes from being in the most defensible position. But sometimes you can't hide. And he sort of gives you a knowing look. Sometimes you have to take action. This is one of those times. This is a time we will tell our children and our grandchildren about. You will tell them of the heroism. These brave men and women who go now to defeat Rikara, to fight for Sunktown, and to preserve our future and our legacy for years to come. Says, let us recognize our men and women in uniform as they undertake this brave and dangerous task. And a cheer starts to go up from the crowd. You see, actually, some of your people are cheering and clapping.
Well,
some,
I don't, yeah, but I'm sure that they're clapping.
Now, we bid them good luck and Godspeed. And this is company march. Rourke taught me that. Rourke would be the one to say that. Company march, and they all sort of turn and not quite in step, kind of walk off towards the boats. Rourke releases you and Mercer says, we know he is one of yours, and we know you have particular rights you need to tend to. I suggest you tend to them.
That's true, and this is a wonderful time to announce, though it is sad that we are losing Kryn, I would like to throw a combination funeral and celebration for our brave warriors. In 3 days' time, there will be a feast. Food will be provided, and anyone is welcome, and everyone is welcome.
Mercer looks at you and says, he actually walks up to you and says, I don't trust you, but thank you. The people need that sort of thing.
They do.
And he puts his hand on you and he says, please, pray for my man.
I will pray for your man.
Shan, in the confusion, sort of sidles up next to you. So we're down a medic.
We're up one.
How did you... Didn't think I could, did you? You used him like... So long ago.
You and him?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, can we stage whisper this?
Oh, yeah.
So... What do you know?
Man, these church people are crazy. There's like guns, shooting people, psychic shit going on. I don't even know. They are like... There's... Alright, I think Found's like a brainer or something.
A brainer?
Yeah.
Here in Sunktown?
He's been doing weird shit. But he totally like... married his sister to this guy and then started waving a gun at him.
Really?
Yeah.
What set him off?
I don't even remember. They were having a, like, theological debate. It was severe.
It was.
And
yeah.
They got some kind of machine. I'll let you know when I find
Foster
out
Foster says. Foster tells me he's very touchy about some of his theology. Something about the devil. They were both drunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fuse, this is fresh brother-in-law, said he was the devil. Which was part of it, probably. Now that you mention it.
Yeah, if he's a brainer, he's the next closest thing. I don't think Mercer or Rourke will take kindly to having a brainer in some time. We've had a policy. And actually, you know this. There actually is a policy of brainers are exiled or executed because Armbar can't stop what they do.
No.
And, you know, Mercer's kind of paranoid, if you hadn't noticed. So, there's that. Sis, and then we definitely need to remove him. If he's as powerful as you say, it might be more difficult.
Yeah. I, personally, I don't want to mess with him.
Do you know anything about this feast? Is this some sort of a trap?
He hasn't mentioned anything about it around me.
It's your wife.
Yeah, well, you know. It's like day one of being married. We've been married for almost 24 hours.
I do not envy the job you'll have to do this evening.
It's whatever.
I guess he's just not my type. Look, I've got another man on the inside.
Oh, really?
I'm going to see what he knows. But, in the meantime, you just make sure, you know, we really could use you out on this raid. So, Mercer was going to send you. I convinced him not to. I convinced him you had more important work here, and I, so far, I'm proven right.
Yeah, I don't think I could keep up this whole wife thing if I was at Skullhead.
Well... You certainly couldn't get any more information.
Exactly.
So, keep doing what you're doing.
The information is falling in.
Do not disappoint
Hans.
Me. She smiles and walks off.
Hmm.
So, the field clears, and, since all the men are, Rourke actually says, I've got to get to the boats. Can you take care of this?
What?
The body.
Oh, yes. Yes, I can handle this.
Good. He's got a visor. You actually can't see his eyes.
I suspect he's giving me a weird look.
He's giving you the side eye, and then he kind of struts off the way that he does that.
I'm seeing a penguin walk now after that gesture.
Gunter!
He's got a ton of armor on. So
that doesn't disreinforce it.
No. I think there might be a little bit of a shuffle to his gait with that wearing that much. Although I mean that's some old tech, you know, actual body armor that he's got on, and does anything else happen downstairs?
Actually, I so far have not suffered any real negative consequences for healing people, so I'm gonna lay on hands on Big Fucker real quick. Assuming that doesn't go terribly awry, do the same thing to...
Can I caveat that you've done this a lot today,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of feel like perhaps
running
respect.
Out of juice. Okay.
Yes. Because I can keep doing this over and over again until, you know. If you want to do it, you can go ahead and do it, but I'm saying that maybe one more time this session is probably...
Okay.
You know what? Actually, you know what? Fuck it. No. Do it. I'm thinking about it the wrong way.
Alright.
There's a chance for something awesome to happen, so you should just do it.
Alright, so...
I'm not here to take away somebody else's stuff.
I grab your hand, gently, and...
Are you gonna do some creepy bullshit to me?
I was about to say, are you gonna allow him? Are you gonna interfere? That'd be hilarious.
What would be better for the story?
Yeah, but, I mean, we won't be in character.
Oh.
Well, I was about to do some creepy bullshit to you. You can see it in her eyes.
Yeah, but then again, I want to be touched by Eliza.
Fair enough.
Just saying.
That's not what I was going for at all.
I'm all right. Grabbing you there.
Well, then roll.
Yeah, but it's still, it's human contact.
8. So, your hand heals, but now I'm acting under fire from your brain.
Okay, well, roll the under fire.
Eight.
Ooh, okay. So, you go to grab Big Fucker's hand, and...
I think that still heals the segment.
Oh, absolutely, but I want to see... I need to see what this does, so that I can describe what happens. So...
I'm acting under fire from their brain.
Yep. You know what? I don't have to actually give you the healing. Because mm-hmm. I can offer you a bargain. So I'm gonna start describing this and I'm gonna say what happens, and you'll still be able to do the healing, but it may be at a cost to you.
Okay.
So as you go to reach out, a wave of fatigue goes through you, and as you grasp Big Fucker's hand, you're suddenly...
It's more like...
No, you have to touch.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, if Big Fucker's hand was here, it'd be more grasping it like this, sort of
this.
Gently and...
You suddenly... you're suddenly in Big Fucker's maelstrom. And it is deafening and crushing. And...
got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I have my normal face in the maelstrom. Can she see me?
Yes. Yes, I suppose she can. And I suppose she's frozen.
Because I have.
Yes. You see Big Fucker's face, and it is Big Fucker's actual face. And so you are being blasted from all sides, physical crushing. Deafening noise, and then this hideous, hideous,
hideous face in front of you.
Half of my face isn't so bad.
And
you're like third face.
It's kind of like ugly, but it's not bad.
And hey you. What are you doing? What are you doing? Get out of here. Get out of here. Shoo.
I'm transfixed by
Armin.
His face.
Don't be rude. She's trying to help.
She can see you.
Can I see Norman?
No.
No, I just okay.
Oh, that's too bad. I'd love to know what Norman looks like. I have no clue. She's trying to help.
So here's the thing. I don't do harm to you. How much harm are you at right now?
One.
You're at one. You can proceed, but that image is going to be seared into your brain. It will be unforgettable because you.
That's so ugly.
because you have to. You have to, you can't look away. You're physically unable to look away. And the trauma of the situation. So unless you let go, that image will never leave you.
I don't think it's going to either way.
I'm offering. You could let go, close your eyes, and forget it. Your brain as a response. What do you call that? As a coping response.
Defense mechanism.
That's what I'm looking for. Your brain as a defense mechanism could erase what you just saw.
This is paralyzing, but it is also triggering all of my mother hen instincts.
I can fix that.
fixing the hand is kind of forgotten. What I want to do is reach out and fix his face. But between the noise and Norman shouting at me, I don't think I actually managed that. Maybe I managed to fix his hand before I let go, but when I try and reach to fix his face,
no,
I just lose it.
You lose it. So you do not heal Big Fucker, but
I don't think I forget the image either.
It fades, but you can't bring it back up, but you know there's something horrifically wrong with Big Fucker's face. How's that? Is that okay? And you sort of know that Eliza's seeing you
mm-hmm.
under the mask.
And I know that she's heard Norman.
I'm so sorry. I don't think I can do any more today.
I think you've done enough. I'm sorry. You should.
I'm gonna like,
go
wrap my arms around you and just hug you because that's the only thing I can think of that won't actually help.
Accept that hug and then hold it for too long awkwardly.
No, I'm not done. Not done yet.
But not in a pervy kind of way, in like a vulnerable kind of way. There you go.
You're just grabbing everyone today, aren't you?
Is this
Joe's girl still here? What is with you?
Everybody's with me.
I think it's gonna be okay.
Mill left. It's just gonna be okay. I'll reluctantly let go of Big Fucker and go take a look at three. Not laying on hands at this point, just making sure she's stable and...
She's stable, unconscious, she's lost a couple of teeth, she bit her tongue and her lower lip shredded pretty bad from getting cracked by...
Do I need to mark off another stock to make sure she's okay?
No, I think there's nothing... She's not badly hurt enough to warrant spending more stock on that. That's a waste. There's not much you could do, really. You know, maybe a little liquid skin, you know, to just patch up the lip. But really, everything else is just out to heal, and she'll be out a couple of teeth. It's not like a lot of other people aren't. She's just starting a little younger than most.
Hold on to the teeth. Maybe I can put them back later.
Yeah.
I expanded into dentistry.
Jojo says, I gotta get back to my kids. Do you mind walking me back?
Sure.
As you're walking out, she's like, I don't know what happened in there, but I thought you were very brave. And I know you didn't want to hurt that girl, but you saved a lot worse from happening.
I hope so.
She sort of puts her hand on your arm and says, you're a good man. And then she sort of pulls her hand away and she says, she looks down the hall, I should go. And she like sort of pulls away from you, and then you look and Shan is coming down the hall towards you. So, big fucker.
Shan.
Prince dead.
How?
Murdered. Looks like he's got his face shot off, although it's hard to tell.
His face shot off?
Yeah, he's been in the water too long. It's really kind of hard to tell what happened, but he was missing most of his skull, so...
Huh.
Some sort of high-powered weapon, we can only assume.
Interesting. Was that what the alarm was?
The alarm was a rally. Mercer's sending his men to Skullhead. We're going on a big raid, try to shut them down. Kryn may have been Skullhead's work, may have been Rikara's work, may not have been. It's hard to say. A lot of big guns floating around. But we do know that Skullhead's been making a move on our resources, so I think Absinthe convinced Mercer to,
Wait. Skullhead? You think it was Skullhead?
We don't know anyone else that would have been. Who would have shot our medic?
No one.
You're actually under fire, and the fire is...
That I completely know, because I've killed lots of people, and I know what it looks like when you're pretending you haven't...
Well, you also know that Kryn also has been killing lots of people.
Yeah.
My forehead.
No. Yeah. I know this, and I figured out Absinthe, too, I think. That is... 9.
So, on a 9, you on a 9, I think she knows you flinch, but it's not. She doesn't immediately like think that maybe you you're responsible. You know something about this, don't you?
I don't know what I know. Kryn was into some deep shit.
Deep shit? What are you talking about?
He was talking always about, you know... Well, how do I put this? We had a guy who was kind of a scumbag. He was beating up on his girl. And, kind of found him once, you know, laid out, sprawled, and I think having been tortured in the mess hall as a display warning for, you know, what happens to sinners. And I'm pretty sure Kryn does that a lot, I think. I got the sense... You ever just talk to someone and you think they're a little fucked in the head?
We'd heard, we'd had reports that a few of Thalm's people showed up mutilated. But we assumed that was some sort of weird cult thing. You think Kryn was behind it? The medic?
Well, I mean, if anyone's going to be good at, you know, mutilating things, a medic, you know, yeah, they can scalpels and they can cut things.
How bizarre. We're still down a medic.
We have, boy, Mill.
Well, Mill is not going to be able to patch up the whole crew. Assuming she makes it back in one piece. I'm not convinced this raid is going to go as well as Mercer and Absinthe seem to think it is.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I have a sister in Skullhead, but she's, you know, if you guys go and kill her, she's not an angel anymore, so that's another less resource. You can probably get her over.
She's saying you think you could recruit your sister. There's no one else with any medical expertise.
Well, I don't know if I could recruit her.
Scott has
like
someone
talked
else?
Her in years. Found? She's Eliza.
Eliza. The fix-it.
Yeah.
The savvy head.
Yeah, she can, she's got this old... Look, check this out.
Yeah, there's a big bird in your hand. You weren't actually healed.
Oh, I thought that was
no.
the consequence of... Ooh,
no.
Interesting.
He pulled out.
Sorry.
You should have switched pronouns for that.
So, yeah. Eliza stabbed you with a hot something. I don't understand.
She was trying to... Eliza can do this thing where she, like, you know, does... She touches...
You've seen that, actually? I'm actually asking you. Or you've seen her medical equipment. You've seen her fix up H.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen her... You haven't actually seen a successful lay on hands yet, have you?
That's
that
true.
You know of. So you,
that's true, so,
you so
I can't even say that.
But you know that she does have a...
She has medical equipment.
She's been stockpiling medical equipment.
Well, not really stockpiling. She just, you know, finds things sometimes. I mean, I'm sure she'd be happy to help. She's...
Is she competent?
She's competent in everything. She's a real savvy head. I mean, you gotta meet this girl.
I think I do. I think I do need to meet this girl. Well, that is a pleasant... That is the first good news I've gotten today. Well, no, second good news I've gotten today. Absinthe married Found?
Yeah. She's completely... No, I've got it. I'm not stupid, Shan. You gotta put her up to this.
Well...
Or maybe she put herself up. She's... But she's not in that for that.
I know. I know a lot of things. And like I said before, I don't put all my eggs in one basket. But I'm glad you're confident in my ability to do my job.
Well,
as I am confident in your ability to do your job.
Thank you.
You have provided me with some very useful information. I need you to find out what Found is planning with this feast. I don't trust him.
Neither do I.
Well, get on that, will you?
I will.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I Podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.